discuss about Krishna's appearance, pastimes. So I'm reading from the Krishna book, which is the 10th canto, translation of the 10th canto, which Srila Prabhupada's purport. And we are reading from the chapter, The Birth of Lord Krishna. This is the third chapter of the 10th canto.
Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who also appeared as one of the demigoddesses. Is the third chapter, the third chapter, we go into first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth paragraph. When things were adjusted like this, it begins with that. When things were adjusted like this. You get it, Rishi? So, I'm just reading from Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who also appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared with the full moon in the sky as it rises on the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete at that time, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So, by the grace of Krishna, he could appear just as a full moon. There are two original Kshatriya dynasties. One is coming from sun and the other is coming. So the sun dynasty is called Surya Vamsa and the moon dynasty is called Chandra Vamsa. Krishna appeared in the moon dynasty. So Prabhupada is making the point that Srimad Bhagavatam actually describes that at that time, although Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, waning period of the moon, but at that time the moon was full moon. So one may question, how is it possible that on the eighth day of the waning moon, the moon was full? So Prabhupada is saying, actually the moon god, Somdev, became so excited, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has graced his dynasty, that out of joy, he became full. This full moon, the fullness of the moon was an expression of his joy, expression of his excitement. So, Krishna appeared in the moon dynasty, but Lord Ramchandra appeared in the sun dynasty. Ramchandra appeared in Surya Vamsa, and Krishna appeared in Chandra Vamsa. In an astronomical treatise by the name Kamanikya, the constellations of the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna are very nicely described. It is confirmed that the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahma, or the Absolute Truth. Vasudev saw that wonderful child born as a baby with four hands holding conch shell, club, disc and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Srivatsa, wearing the jewel necklace of Kaustava stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with Vaidurja stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and an abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary feature of the child, Vasudev was struck with wonder. How could a newly born child be so decorated? He could therefore understand that Lord Krishna had now appeared, and he became overpowered by the occasion. Vasudev very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity conditioned by material nature and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, was appearing as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and nice clothing, fully equipped with all the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Over and over again, Vasudev glanced at the child, and he considered how to celebrate this auspicious moment. Generally, when a male child is born, he thought, people observe the occasion with jubilant celebrations. And in my home, although I am imprisoned, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken birth. How many millions of times should I be prepared to observe this auspicious ceremony? So, Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. A few days ago, we observed Balaram's appearance day, and on that day, we have considered, and I was not here, but I hope you all have discussed, that the purpose why Balaram appeared before Krishna in the womb of Devaki was to make all the arrangements for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come. Actually, Balaram is the personality who takes care of all of Krishna's comforts. All the paraphernalia for Krishna's enjoyment and Krishna's comfort are provided by Balaram. And actually, all these paraphernalia for Krishna's enjoyment are expansions of Balaram. And as Krishna appears, Balaram appears. As Krishna expands, Balaram expands. When Krishna appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago, Balaram appeared also. And Balaram made all the arrangements for Krishna's comfort, Krishna's pleasure. In Devaki's womb, at that time, Devaki's womb was not the womb in that sense. It was not a womb of a woman where a child develops his body. But womb of Devaki became the spiritual sky. And Balaram appeared there to make all the necessary arrangements for Krishna's arrival. And then after making all the necessary arrangements, Balaram was transferred from Devaki's womb to Mother Rohini's womb. And then Krishna appeared and
Here we can see how Krishna was born out of Devaki's womb. How Krishna appeared from Devaki's womb. And although Krishna was born as the son of Mother Devaki, but Krishna was not like any ordinary child. Krishna appeared with four arms. And on all those four arms were decorated with Narayan's eternal weapons that he holds in his four hands. Conch shell, mace, lotus, and disc. And he was fully decorated. Host of a jewel was decorating his chest. Vaidurja money was decorating his helmet. And his whole body was decorated with brilliant ornaments. And he was wearing a brilliant silk, yellow silk garment. Never ever anyone has seen that anyone is appearing in this way. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear in this way in his original form. Since he is the Supreme Controller, he can appear in any way he wants. Sometimes people may consider why he was born like an ordinary child, ordinary human baby. Since he appeared as an ordinary human baby, he must be an ordinary human being. No, Krishna can appear in any way. As Lord Nrisimhadev, he appeared from the pillar. As Matsya incarnation, nostrils of Brahma. I'm sorry, as Varaha incarnation, he appeared from nostrils of Brahma. As Matsya, he appeared to Sayambhuva Manu just as a small little fish, and then the fish kept on expanding, kept on growing and growing and growing. So ultimately, Manu had to take the fish to the water, to the ocean. In this way, Krishna can appear, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear in any way he wants. And he can also appear as a human being, as a human child. But although he appears as the child of a human father, apparently human father and mother, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead under all circumstances. Later on we will see that not only he was bedecked with all kinds of beautiful ornaments and holding his natural weapons, but he also manifested his eternal form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Devaki and Vasudev. And there, in the prison, Devaki and Vasudev started to offer their prayers to Krishna. And Vasudev, here we are seeing, although he is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, an eternally liberated soul, but he is considering himself to be an ordinary human being. And he is considering how the Supreme Personality of Godhead could come in my home as my child. And that is another characteristic of a devotee. A devotee never considers himself to be extraordinary personality. A devotee never considers himself to be very great. A devotee always considers himself to be very ordinary, very simple. And this is the sign of advancement of a devotee. The more advanced he becomes, the more humble he. From the scriptures we know Vasudev was not an ordinary person. He was not even a sadhana siddha personality. Vasudev did not become perfect through sadhana, through practice. Vasudev was actually an eternally liberated soul. In his previous lives, also he was the father of the Supreme Personality of God. This lifetime, as Vasudev,
he attained perfection and the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared to him as his son. Vasudev previously also appeared as Kashyapa and Sutapa. So, in two other previous births, he became the father of the Supreme Personality of God. In that way we can see that he was a liberated personality. And not only that, Vasudev originally is the personification of Brahma Jyoti. The bodily effulgence of the Lord, Brahma Jyoti, or the Suddha Sattva, Vishuddha Sattva, is Vasudeva Sabditam. Vasudeva Shabditam is known as Vasudeva. So Vasudeva is Vishuddha Sattva, the personification of the spiritual sky. But here we can see how humble is a devotee. He is considering Vasudeva very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity, conditioned by material nature, and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, was appearing as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. So this is how a devotee always feels very humble, feels very unqualified. And the more unqualified one feels himself to be, the more the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down to bless him. In this way, on this particular day, about 5,000 years ago, the Supreme Personality in Mathura, in the prison of Kamsa, as the son, as the eighth son of Vasudeva Devaki. Before Balaram's appearance in the womb of Devaki, six other sons were also born out of Devaki and Vasudeva. And one after another, all those six children were killed. In the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport, Prabhupada explains that these six sons of Devaki were actually six asuras. And they were killed by Kamsa. Actually, in the previous life, Kamsa was another demon called Kalnemi, and he was cursed, that his six sons were cursed, known as Sadgarbhas. They were cursed that they would be killed by their own father. And as a result of that, the six asuras were born in the womb of Devaki, and their father, Kalnemi, was born as Kamsa. And this is how the karmic reaction takes place according to the arrangements of material nature. And these six demons were killed by their own father. But apparently it seems that Kamsa was killing them very heinously, very cruelly. But actually it was the divine arrangement. And Prabhupada also explains that symbolically, these six asuras are six enemies that we have. Every living entity in the material condition has six most dangerous enemies. And those enemies are known as lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy. So these Sararipus, or six enemies, were killed in the womb of Devaki.
following the explanation of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada is explaining that Devaki actually is the personification of devotion. Bhakti Devi, a devotion personified, is Devaki. And when one takes to devotional service, one becomes extremely afraid by the material nature. Due to the influence of them, or becomes very, very afraid of the influence of the material nature. And the personification of that illusory influence or maya, the personification of atheism, is Kamsa. Kamsa is the personification of atheism. Like he wants to get rid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The atheistic nature is, why should we accept God? There is no God. If at all there is a God, if at all there is a Supreme Personality, then that is me. And that was a typical nature, typical attitude of Kamsa. Why should anyone worship God? I am God. And if at all there is a God, then we'll get rid of him. I'll get rid of him and I will become, I'll finish him, I'll kill him, and I will become. Not only in Kamsa, that characteristic or that mentality is prevalent in all the demoniac personalities. The same attitude was displayed by Hiranyakashipu, the same attitude was displayed by Ravana, and the same attitude is here being displayed by Kamsa. Now, devotion becomes very much afraid of atheism. And as a result of that, when devotion begins to develop, one by one, these enemies of our heart, lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, and envy, are killed. And when our heart becomes completely free from all these detrimental effects, then our heart becomes prepared to receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when these six enemies were killed, when one got rid of the six enemies, then who appears? Then appeared Balaram. And who is Balaram? Balaram is the original spiritual master. The original spiritual master of all living entities is Balaram. And the spiritual master is a representative. And he comes and prepares the heart for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the heart in this way becomes nirmatsa, becomes completely free from envy, then finally Vasudev, who is eternally situated in pure goodness, the son of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality, so in this way we can see that the qualification to receive Krishna in our heart is to become completely free from all the adverse influences of material nature, like lust, greed, anger, etc. The beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been described that when the heart becomes completely free from all such negative qualities, especially envy, which is the last one to get rid of, Matsarya, then only one becomes a devotee. Paramo Nirmatsarana Satam. Nirmatsar, Matsar means envy, and Nirmatsar means free from envy. So when one becomes completely free from envy, when one's heart is completely free from envy, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in the heart. Parama Nirmatsarana Satam. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there already in the heart of every living entity. Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is residing in the heart of every living entity. Sarva Bhutana, of all living entities. But unfortunately, when one is conditioned by material nature, when one's heart is full of impurities, then one does not register, one cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart. But when the heart becomes purified, then in the purified heart one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then only one, when the heart becomes completely purified, then only he is able to receive the instructions of the spiritual master. In the pure heart, the instructions of the spiritual master become the message of the Vedas. Actually, there is no difference between the message of the Vedas or instructions of the Vedas and the instructions of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is he who repeats the words of the Vedas, repeats the words of the scriptures. But when one is in his conditioned stage, when one is full of impurities, then he doesn't see the how they are non-different, how the instructions of the spiritual master and the instructions of the Veda are non-different. But when the heart becomes purified, then he sees. And not only that, at that point he sees that the spiritual master is also non-different from the super soul. Because the spiritual master is a bona fide representative super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, when the heart becomes purified, then one becomes able to receive, one becomes eligible to receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, receive means becomes eligible to perceive him. As I mentioned, Krishna is there in the heart, but we are not able to see him. We are not able to see him because our heart is full of impurities. We are not able to see him because our vision is turned away from Krishna. The impure consciousness causes our vision to turn towards external energy of the Lord, Maya, or the material nature. But when the heart becomes purified, the vision also becomes purified. And the purified vision is projected onto the into the core of our hearts, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally situated. And then the living entity sees that he was actually never separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let us continue here. I'll just skip two paragraphs and come to the paragraph. Vasudev then began to offer his prayers. My dear Lord, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the super soul of all living entities and the absolute truth. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us. I understand that because I am afraid of Kamsa, you have appeared just to deliver me from that fear. You do not belong to this material world. You are the same person who brings about the cosmic manifestation simply by glancing over material nature. So the material manifestation takes place due to the glance of who? Whose glance causes the material manifestation? Very good. Yeah, Mahavishnu is Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. So Mahavishnu or Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, when he glances towards Maya, the material nature, then material nature becomes activated. Material nature becomes agitated, and that agitation causes the manifestation of this material nature. The material nature has two states of existence. One is called vakta or manifest, and the other is called objecta or unmanifest. So when Mahavishnu glances towards the material nature becomes manifest. And when Mahavishnu withdraws his glance from material nature, then the material nature becomes unmanifest. And although Vasudeva is saying that you are the same personality who actually causes the material creation to become manifest, who causes the material creation just by your glance, but actually, Krishna is the origin of that Mahavishnu. From Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic scriptures, we get to know that Krishna's first expansion is Balarama. Then he expands as Chaturbhuha, original Chaturbhuha of Dwarka, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna. Then from there he expands as Narayan of Vaikuntha. And then an expansion of Narayan is Mahavishnu. And then this Mahavishnu is the cause of the creation of all the universes. He glances towards the material nature and he causes the material nature to become activated. And that activation of this material nature becomes manifest in the form of creation of innumerable universes, Brahmandas. That has been described as Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean. And as he breathes, not only through his nose and mouth, but as he breathes even through the pores of his body, each single bubble that is created in the causal ocean is a universe. So that is how unlimited Mahavishnu is, and that's how unlimited the universes are also. We cannot say, we cannot count, we cannot calculate how many universes are there. Just as Mahavishnu is unlimited, His body has unlimited pores. Therefore, there must be unlimited universes. If we can count the number of universes, then that means we can count the pores of Mahavishnu's body. Which is not theoretically correct. Mahavishnu is unlimited. He is spiritual and no one can ever measure him. So as Mahavishnu cannot be measured, the number of universes also cannot be measured. In this way, this material creation takes place. Then although he creates the universes just by his breathing, but those universes are actually uninhabited by living entities. They're empty. They're like empty shells. Brahmanda. But then he enters into each universe as Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And he fills up half of the universe with water from his body called Svedavai. Since it comes out from his body, it's like sweat. But of course, with us it is sweat, but with him it is this transcendental manifestation of water from his body. And then he lies on that Garbha ocean, on the bed of Ananta Shesha, as Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu comes out a lotus. And Brahma is situated on that lotus. And that Brahma is the engineer of each universe. Each universe has a Brahma. In our universe, Brahma has four heads. In there are other universes that where Brahma has 16 heads, 64 heads, and it goes on and on and on. And in this way, there are universes that has Brahmas with millions of. That is how inconceivable even Krishna's material creation is. And Brahma causes all the living entities in the universe, in that respective universe, to receive their bodies according to their desire, according to the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill their desires. And in this way the universes become filled up. And then in each living entity's heart, Krishna enters as Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. As Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, he enters in the hearts as the super soul, Paramatma. And not only the hearts of the living entities, Krishna actually enters into every single atom. Anda Tarastha Paramatma Chayana. As the super soul, he is Andantarastha. Andantarastha means he is situated in each Brahmanda, each universe. And he is also situated in every single Paramanu. Paramanu means in every single atom. Andantarastha, Paramanu Chayantarastha. So that is the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, when a living entity is in this conditioned stage, he remains oblivious of the Supreme Personality of God. And although he is so close, he is not only situated within our hearts, but he is actually situated within the spirit soul. He is so close to the living entity. He is so close to all of us. If the body has been compared to a tree, and in the body, there are two birds. One is the spirit soul and the other is the super soul. But unfortunately, this bird is just busy. One bird, the spirit soul, is simply interested in eating the fruits of the tree. But the other bird is simply watching him, watching his activities. And this other bird, the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart of the living entities, is just waiting when that spirit soul is going to turn his face towards him. And in order to make that spirit soul, in order to make the Jivatma to look towards him, he makes all kinds of arrangements. Not only he goes with him wherever he goes, but he also makes all different types of arrangements. And one arrangement is that he personally comes. And why does he come? Why does Krishna come? The Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to accomplish two missions. One is Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Chatusanta. In order to rescue, or in order to save, in order to protect the saintly people, and in order to annihilate the miscreants. In the purport of this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is mentioning, that the reason why Krishna comes, the real reason why Krishna comes, is actually paritrana sadhana, to save the devotees by his personal presence, by his personal association. That is the reason why he comes. And vinasaya duskritam, to annihilate the miscreants, is only a secondary purpose, not the principal cause. It's a secondary cause of his appearance. Because that duskritam, the miscreants, Krishna can take care of by his different agents. Like material nature, maya, mahamaya, Durga Devi, or in her different forms, is capable of taking care of all the demons. She can annihilate any demon. So killing the demons is not a very important thing for him. But he does that. He comes. He appears. He incarnates to help his devotees, to bestow his mercy upon his devotees. In this way we can see that today is the Janmashtami day, the day when Krishna appeared. And you have to understand that he appeared to bless his devotees by his personal presence on this earth. And by doing so, he is attracting his devotees towards him. He attracts his devotees by his pastimes. His pastimes are specifically meant for attracting his devotees. So since we are trying to become his devotees, we must take advantage of these days. This is a very, very special day when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. And on this day, he is present in front of us in his deity form, and we must take full advantage of his presence. We must try to realize that the person who is in the personality, who is in the altar, is also there within our hearts. He is not different. He is in our hearts. But unfortunately, our vision has become materialized, and therefore we cannot see him in our hearts. But when our vision will become purified, then we'll be able to see him. But Krishna is so merciful that he made himself visible in front of us in the altar. And that personality is the supreme personality. Due to our mundane vision, we may think that he is made of metal or stone or wood. To us, it may, this deity form of the Lord may appear to be some sort of a statue, some sort of material form. But actually, it's not. But not only it is not, it is, he is not. He is the Actually, in the altar, the personality who is in the altar, he is the supreme personality of God. He is the cause of Mahavishnu. He is the cause of the entire creation. And the same personality is in Vrindavan. In his original form, he is in Vrindavan, he is playing his flute. And this altar, where we are seeing, this altar actually has three aspects. In front we have Radha Krishna, and Krishna is playing the flute. That is, that region of the altar is Vrindavan. And then there is Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. That part of the altar is Kurukshetra. And there is Gaur Nithai, and that part of the altar is Navadvip. And all these are in the spiritual. So this altar is not in the material nature. It is the spiritual sky. And when our vision becomes purified, we will see that how Radha Krishna and Radha Gopinath are Radha Gopinath of Vrindavan. how Jagannath Balaram Subhadra are Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra.
In
Kurukshetra, he is very happy. Balaram, Krishna, Jagannath has become very, very happy to meet his devotees from Vrindavan after 100 years of separation. And therefore he has developed such a beautiful form. In his excitement, his eyes have become so big and his face lit up with a big smile and his hands are stretched out to embrace his devotees. So this is how the Lord is bestowing his mercy. And Gaur Nitai are from Navadvip, Mayapur, and they're singing and dancing. When our vision becomes purified, we'll see how they're dancing. When our vision becomes purified, then we'll see them literally dancing and singing, and we'll hear the song when our ears become purified. In this way, with our purified senses, we'll be able to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Jam Shyama Sundaram Achinta Gunasvarupam. When our eyes will become anointed with love for Krishna. Love means devotion. What we are practicing in Krishna consciousness is actually trying to develop our love for Krishna. So when we develop our love for Krishna, then our eyes will become anointed with that love. And then we'll be able to see the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is Jam Shyama Sundaram Achinta Guna Swarupam. That Shyam Sundar form of the Lord, who is the reservoir of inconceivable. Today is the appearance day of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. We will be able to see him and serve him with all sincerity. And in this way, by purifying our existence, by rendering service according to the instructions of a spiritual master, we will become qualified to transform our hearts into the spiritual sky. And in this way, we will be able to purify our existence and go back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes.
So when Krishna appeared in this world 5,000 years ago, he was visible to our eyes, but the spirit is not visible to our eyes. So then, what is the difference between
So the question is, when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, everyone there could, or those who were near him, could see him. Now, spirit is not visible, so how was Krishna visible? Right? And what is the difference between that Krishna who appeared and the Krishna in the spiritual sky? That's your question? Okay. Yes, Krishna is absolutely spiritual and he is not perceivable by our material senses. It's true, but Krishna with his inconceivable potency may become visible in front of our eyes also. If Krishna wants, he can become visible in front of our mundane eyes. And that's what he did 5,000 years ago. He appeared himself. He manifested himself so that anybody and everybody there could see him.
just as Krishna is there in the altar. Krishna himself has manifested in such a way that we can see him. But how we are seeing, how the atheistic mind is seeing him? The atheistic mind is saying, this is not Krishna. This can't be the Supreme Personality of God. It is just a stone. I know it was carved in Jaipur so many years ago, and we paid so much money to the carver and we got the deity. So mundane mind may reason like that. Similarly, a mundane personality at that time when Krishna was present was thinking, well, this can't be the Supreme Personality of God. Look at him. He's another creature of flesh and blood and bone. He's like any other ordinary person. So they were not seeing him as the spiritual Satchidananda Vigraha. They were seeing him a personality in flesh and blood. Just as we are seeing him wood or stone or metal, the deity in the altar. So the real way to see Krishna, the real qualification to see Krishna is without purified vision. Unless the vision becomes purified, whether it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the altar in 54 Bergstrasse in Zurich, is not going to be visible. No. Now you see, the stars move in different velocity, or the movement is not, they are not moving all together. They all are moving in different velocity. Right? Therefore, although today the tithi is the same, the day according to the lunar calculation is the day, the eighth day of the waning moon in the month of Agrahayan. But the position of the stars, the way it was 5,000 years ago, is not the same. That position comes only in one rare occasion. Maybe in every 8.64 billion years. In a day of
Atmatrathya. How is it possible that this Shankaravati is the person with the same parents as Krishna?
Who?
That demons can be
I see.
The same parents as Krishna.
Yeah. Well, as I was mentioning, Prabhupada actually explains that in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada is explaining that these demons. Well, I mean, first let me give the explanation according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, as Prabhupada mentioned. Like, these demons are actually the enemies of ourselves. And they are killed by Kamsa, atheism, due to one's acceptance of devotional service. Because one is afraid of devotion, afraid of atheistic demons, because one is afraid of the atheism personified, right? When one becomes a devotee. Actually, when one becomes a devotee, what is his greatest fear? Yes, mind. And the mind is? Mind can be friend and mind can be enemy also. Now, why is the fear? The greatest fear is the fear of atheism. That let me not become atheistic. Let me not lose my faith in Krishna. That is the greatest anxiety a devotee has. And as a result of that, the byproducts of atheism, lust, greed, anger, they start getting wiped out. So we actually, when we become devotee, like they are there in our hearts, lust, greed, anger are there. But because we become a devotee, we get rid of them, one after another.
So symbolically it has been done that way. But I think it's in Padma Puran. Padma Puran or Brahma Vaivarta Puran, I don't exactly remember where, but it describes why it actually happened. You see, the announcement was that the eighth son, Krishna will appear as the eighth son of Devaki. Right? Krishna gave the assurance to the demigods. So then, the demigods considered that if the womb is, if the children are alive, then the pregnancy will be delayed. So let us get, let us make arrangements that as soon as the child is born, they'll be killed. And then the demigods knew about these six garbhas, garbhasuras, sadgarbhas, that they were destined to be killed by their own father. So they thought that, well, they have been cursed, and Kamsa is the father. So let us make arrangements that these individuals are placed. They were actually asleep in the depth of the ocean. So they say that these sleeping souls, we will place them in the womb of Devaki. And right after their birth, Kamsa will kill them. So this way we'll get rid of first six children of Devaki. So demigods actually, these sadgarbhas were sleeping under the ocean. They were brought and placed in the womb of Devaki, and one after another Krishna, Kamsa, killed them. And in this way, they accelerated Krishna's appearance. Or in order to accelerate Krishna's appearance, they made this. And Narad Muni helped them. Narad Muni went, Kamsa didn't want to kill. Narad Muni went on behalf of the demigods. Actually, the demigods approached Narad Muni, said, what to do now? Kamsa doesn't want to kill. So Narad Muni said, okay, I'll take care. So he went and advised Kamsa. Kamsa, how do you know this is not the eighth son? The eighth counting from backward to forward to backward to forward. You do not know. So don't take any chance. So, and Kamsa got excited. He got rid of the children.
You explained that our heart has to be purified so that Krishna may manifest himself, so that we can see him. And Krishna himself gives us the process to purify our heart. So, what can a devotee do who follows somehow this process, but he don't see or he thinks he gets not purified? So obviously he does something wrong in this process, and maybe he even corrects this many times, but because of weakness he cannot correct really. So what can a devotee like this do?
So what's your question?
So an advice, what can a devotee do?
I see. What can a devotee do? So when one is not, in spite of practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, when one is not getting purified, now what should he do, right? Yeah. When one doesn't get purified in spite of practicing the process, then he'll have to first of all understand that he's not practicing the process properly. Because the process is perfect. So if one follows the process properly, he'll positively get. That's the first aspect of the question, answer. The second aspect of the answer is that one must therefore sincerely try to follow the process. And as he gets purified, he will not think or he will not feel that, well, now I'm getting purified or now I became purified. He will feel, oh my God, there's so much dirt in my. So the more he gets purified, the more he will become aware of his dirt in the heart. So that is how this process actually works. The more he gets purified, the more he realizes how impure he is. Doesn't it work like that? Don't we notice ourselves? Like, didn't we feel when we joined the movement, we felt that we are the pure devotees? Like, no one is as pure as I am. I'm the greatest devotee. But as we start progressing in spiritual life, then we start to realize how how impure we are. And a pure devotee always feels how impure he is. For example, Haridas Thakur is displaying such humble disposition, although he is the Namacharya. Mahaprabhu's associate, and Mahaprabhu blessed him so much. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami prays that I am more fallen than a worm in the stool, and I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhari. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is displaying similar attitude. Amar Jivan Shadam. My life is so full of sinful activities, and there is not a drop of piety in that life. So this is how the pure devotees feel. So this is an indication that when we become purified, we will feel that way. Not that we'll feel, oh, now I have become pure devotee. And just to make people feel in a certain way, just to show people how humble I am, I say a few words. Oh, I am so fallen, I am this, I am that. No. A pure devotee feels from the depth of his heart that he is fallen. And that's why the advancement is displayed by the mood of humble disposition, not by arrogance. We also saw the similar mood in Srila Prabhupada. He was so humble. Although he was specially empowered, he was specially sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this world. But he was so humble. He never wanted to take any credit for what he did. And the whole world could see what he has done. So that is a pure devotee. And that is the sign of purification. That's the sign of purity. Yes.
We're talking about the preaching on a high and low planet. Yeah, I wanted to know what's more difficult, to preach to somebody who enjoys material life and opulence, or to somebody who's fallen.
Yeah. You see, somebody may be enjoying the opulence of the material world, but he may be humble. He may be willing. For example, King Pratap Rudra, Maharaj Yudhishthir, they are very opulent personalities. Maharaj Parikshit, they are very opulent personalities. But in heart, they were receptive, they were devotees. So, you see, the receptivity of an individual doesn't depend upon his material situation, opulence or poverty. It depends upon his state of consciousness, his atheistic attitude or devotional attitude. The demigods in heaven, they are very, very opulent. So opulent we can't even imagine. So opulence is not a disqualification for devotional service. Disqualification is the atheistic, demoniac attitude. Not to believe in Krishna, not to accept Krishna. That is what is detrimental.
When you spoke about Mahavishnu glancing over material nature, I remember having read somewhere that also Shiva impregnates the living entities into the womb of Mother Durga. So how is this way?
Yeah. Yes. Mahavishnu's glance is actually something. Brahma Samhita describes that. And through the glance, the outgoing souls come to the material nature. Therefore, they come through the via medium of Sambhu or Shiva into the material nature. So, Mahavishnu and Mahavishnu's glance are not different. Therefore, Mahavishnu and Shiva are not different in a way. Therefore, Shiva is an incarnation of Vishnu. But at the same time, there is a difference, just as milk and yogurt. Krishna or Vishnu transforms himself into Shiva, just as milk is transformed into yogurt. Milk can transform into yogurt, but yogurt cannot transform into milk. Vishnu can transform himself into Shiva, but Shiva cannot transform himself into Vishnu. Yes?
How can a devotee who feels himself more humble than other living entities convince these living entities that the path he's going is the best, that Krishna consciousness is the best path?
Very good point. So, Muralidhar's point is that if the living entity is so humble, a devotee is so humble, then how is he going to convince others that the spiritual process is perfect, that by following the process one will go back to Godhead? Yes, when one is preaching, one can preach with all sincerity, appeal to them. And he is not saying, look at me, what a great person I am, and you must follow. He is saying that the previous acharyas have said that. The scriptures are saying this. So why don't you please consider? Be free from your material bondage. Become free from your material miseries. That is the attitude of a devotee, preaching devotee. He is not saying that, look, I am the personality that you must follow. Or you must practice the process, you must accept the process because I have accepted it. His presentation is, please accept what the previous acharyas are saying, what Krishna himself said in Bhagavad Gita. With that mood, with that attitude, he preaches. Right? So it's not that the preaching devotee should become arrogant. No. Prabhupada is saying that a preacher must be very humble, because while preaching he'll have to encounter with so many demons and they will try to cause so much difficulties for him. But a devotee must maintain his composure with a humble disposition. Right? Haridas Thakur. Shiva's body? Yeah, Shiva's body is spiritual. Shiva's situation, Sadashiva's situation, is beyond material nature. You see, his abode, Mahesh Dham, is above Brahma Jyoti. Goloko namni nija dhamni tale chatasya devi mahesha haridhama suteshu teshu. Devi Dham is this material universe, material nature. Above that is Mahesh Dham. And then above that is Hari Dham, Vaikuntha. So the abode of Lord Shiva is beyond material nature. Yes, yes. But the expansion, just as Krishna's Dham expands in Vrindavan on the material nature, Lord Shiva's Dham also expands in the material nature as Mount Kailash. And Lord Shiva appears as the son of Brahma, as Rudra. You want to make some announcement, Gaurlila? No, it's alright. Yeah. Actually, I was also thinking of
stopping. Have you said one last word?
Just to fire everyone up? Yeah. It is 1 year, 8 days. because Balaram left, he went into the womb of Rohini and then Krishna appeared. It's not that 8 days after, you know, like, not just after 8 days Krishna was born, but it was after 1 year that he was born. Oh yeah, right. Please, tell me how can I fire you all up. Okay?
What to do today?
I tell you.
Yes. So as I mentioned, this is a very, very special day, Krishna's appearance day. Actually, we wait eagerly for this day to appear. Throughout the year, we wait for Krishna Janmashtami and Gaur Purnima. Now that this day has appeared, we must take full advantage of it by being fully Krishna conscious, by rendering service to Krishna, by singing Krishna's glories, by reading Krishna's activities and pastimes, by chanting his holy name. So the whole day must be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And here is Gaur Lila Prabhu. I'm sure he has many wonderful service for you all. So take good opportunity of that. Gaur Lila Prabhu's offering. Hare Krishna.